Let's just pray. Father, thank you. You are all our almighty fortress. You are the one who goes before us, and you are the one who wins every battle for us. Father, I just pray that you will have your way amongst us this morning. Lord, speak to us. Holy Spirit, come and do a new thing amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I am continuing the... Sorry, I need to sort my life out. I heard that. So I'm continuing this morning with the series of the Trinity. I'm saying continuing because it sounds really weird to say finishing it. I don't think we can ever be truly finished talking about God, because after all, he is the author and defender of our faith. So we're continuing. Yes, the series will come to an end, but we will always continue to speak about our Father. So this morning, I'm speaking about God the Father. And what I want to do today is I want to look at the Father's character. I want to look at who it is when we call out Father. I don't think it's just an empty word or an empty name. And that is what I want to look at this morning. When we're in our ups, when we're in our downs, we call out Father God. So, who is it that we are calling out? What is that name? Now, to do this, I just need to establish three things, or kind of like three little ground rules, because obviously we've been looking at the Trinity. Things can get a little bit confusing, I guess. So, first of all, we've seen, Daryl has said it, Ben said it last week, the Trinity is one God, it's three distinct persons, but each one of them is 100% God. Okay, so we just need to get that out of the way. Secondly, another point to get out of the way is that there's going to be some crossover. Yes, they are three distinct persons, but they are also going to share some characteristics. Because after all, how can we say Jesus the Son is full of love, but God is angry and bitter? It just kind of doesn't work if they're the same. And then the other thing I want to say is Jesus is like a brother. So we get the first slide up, please. So there we go. Hebrews 2:11. Jesus and the people he makes holy all belong to the same family. This is why he isn't ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. And then in Romans 8 we see, and he has always been knowing who his chosen ones would be. He had decided to let them become like his own son, so his son would be the first of many children. And in Mark 3, then he looked at the people sitting around him and he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Anyone who obeys God is my brother or sister or mother. So when we become followers of Christ, we're adopted into the family Jesus belongs to. When we become adopted children of God the Father, Jesus becomes our brother. When Jesus is our brother, we can be rightly addressed as Jesus' brothers and sisters. So it's really important that I just laid those three things out there very quickly, especially the thing about Jesus being a brother. We're going to come back, well, we're not going to come back to that, but you're going to see why a little later on that I pointed this out. And if you don't see it, don't worry, I'll help you. Right, so who is God the Father then? Because that's what we're talking about this morning. So let's just jump straight in. Exodus 34, verse 6. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Then that is one of my favorite verses of all time. Whatever misconception you have this morning about God being some grumpy old man with fire coming out of his nostrils, is instantly debunked when we read this. And this is God speaking to Moses and describing himself. The God of compassion and mercy, I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Now, just in the songs we're singing this morning, it's pretty evident that God has no shortage of names. I mean, we were singing about our almighty fortress. And there's probably another 1,000 names that we could call God that are found in the Bible. But one of these names stands alone. And that name is the name Yahweh. Yahweh is the name that is most closely linked to God's redeeming acts in the history of his chosen people. We know God because of what he has done. I'm going to say that again. We know God because of what he has done. Now, when you pray to Yahweh, remember that he is the same God who draws near to save you from the tyranny of sin, just as he saved his people from the tyrannical slavery in Egypt. Okay, so what does Yahweh actually mean? I'm going to read a little bit from Exodus 3. Okay, we all know the story, I think, but I just really feel that I want some context in here. So I'm going to do a little bit of reading. So Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to... Sorry, I can't see. I need to put my glasses on. And came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush. Moses, Moses, he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry of their taskmasters, and I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And yes, I practiced that earlier. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children out of Egypt? He said, but I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered through all the generations. Now, I love this. God uses anyone. God uses us. We are human. And here we can see Moses, the great Moses, the leader of the Israelites, out of captivity, is having a little stumble. He isn't quite sure. And I love that. And the reason I love that is because it just speaks to our humanity. And it shows that God would just use who he's going to use. We don't need to be perfect. We just need to show up. Now, God is giving Moses his mission in life. He's sending them to his fellow countrymen. He is basically telling them, you know, come on, Israelites, I'm going to save you. And God is saying, sorry, Moses is saying to God, but what do I tell them? Who do I say is calling me? And God answers with Yahweh, or I am, or the Lord. His eternal name. But he goes on to then say, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, I don't think God was trying to fill up time here and, you know, oh, I have a certain amount of time I need to speak. I need to get in as many words and names as I possibly can. And I also don't think that he was trying to bore Moses in listing some names. Because come on, let's face it. We know God by what he has done. And when we meet and we start talking about God, I don't know how that conversation goes, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't go like this. Hey, yo, God, yeah. That's like the lamest conversation ever. No, it's more like, guess what God's done for me today? Or remember the thing I was praying about? God did it for me. We build each other's faith. And that's what I think was happening here. God was reminding Moses to remind the Israelites, it's the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, because they will have remembered what God did for them. They would have remembered what God did through them. And if you read up about them, they were also all human, and they also all made mistakes and messed up ridiculously, but God still used them. So God was showing, building that faith, building that testimony, just like what we do when we meet and we gather. Now, some translations will say the Lord, some will say I am, some will say Yahweh. And the footnotes in the bottom of my Bible tell me that they are all interchangeable. And that when you see the capital letters the Lord or the capital letters I am, you can just safely go back to the word Yahweh. What's interesting is that in Jewish tradition, Yahweh was substituted with two other names. The one being Adonai, which means my Lord, and indicates God's role in our lives. And the other is Elohim, which contains the idea of God's creative power and his authority and his sovereignty. But there's a problem with those two words. They are not just used for God. They can be used for man. They can be used for judges and human rulers, except for Yahweh. Nowhere else is the name Yahweh used except exclusively for God. So what is the significance of Yahweh or I am? Now, in the Old Testament, a person's name very often reflected their character. Let's have a look. Abraham means father of a great multitude. Pretty accurate. Eve means living. Obviously, she was the first woman. And Jesus means savior. Now, names were very, very, very important at that time. It could point to a person's disposition, their mission in life, and more. And important, most importantly, Moses was very, very aware of that fact. So when he asks God in Exodus 3 what he should tell the Israelites when they ask who sent him, he's asking God to provide some credibility, to the fantastic story that he's about to tell his people. He's asking God about his character, and he's asking God about his nature. And something else I love about the name Yahweh is it's only used in the Bible when the author is talking about God's personal relationship with his people. So talking about personal relationships and things like that, a little bit of background about me. Most of you know me, some of you don't. I come from South Africa, and that is a very, very important piece of context in this little story that I'm about to tell you. Again, you might not know why now, but it will become pretty evident. I'm also one of three brothers. I'm not going to tell you the order, but probably as we're speaking, it will also, again, become pretty clear. I don't know why I do this to myself, but there we go. Okay, now, I have my oldest brother. He's 9 years older than me, and he absolutely loves taking credit for the fact that he helped bring me up. Okay, so let's kind of look at why he thinks he helped bring me up. We have a very large age gap. He's 9 years older than me, so when I was zero, he was nine. I don't know, I would never have trusted our children when they were nine to, well, one child when he was nine to look after our younger child. There we are. Sorry, David. So I kind of, you know, okay, great. Right, 9 years older than me. I don't really think that proves his little fact. I like this one. Apparently he named me. Again, what adult in their right mind is going to allow their nine-year-old to name their child? So I think I'm going to disprove him on that one as well. Another story he loves to remind me about every single opportunity he can. He changed my nappies. See, again, I'm going to disagree because I potty trained myself on day one. But there is one time when actually I'm going to have to agree with him where he really, really came through, and at least for a day he helped to bring me up. And now I need to give you a little bit of backstory into this backstory. So basically, very quickly, I was 6 years old. I was riding my bicycle like most lovely six-year-olds love to do. I found a nice gravel field near my house, and I was very speedy and fell off and ended up with 17 stitches in my knee. An eternity later, we were on Easter holiday, and I still had the stitches in my knee, so obviously that's not the time frame of a six-year-old. Okay, so it must have been about a week later. We went on a lovely family Easter holiday. I still had all these stitches in my knee, but I was allowed to be a little bit more flexible in the way I moved my leg. I didn't really know how much I was allowed to move, so I fell again and knocked all my stitches out. So, why am I telling you this? Not to gross you out or anything like that. I'm telling you this because my brother, who thinks he brought me up or helped to bring me up. So here we are, lovely family Easter holiday in the middle of nowhere, somewhere in South Africa. It's the Easter weekend. Hospitals are closed. Doctors, you can't find them, okay? And my dad needed to go out, obviously, with my mom, just putting that in there for a bit of clarity, okay? They needed to go out and find some form of medical help. They weren't going to be driving around with their six-year-old son on the back seat of the car. So what did they do? They left my brother in charge of me for the day. So all I can remember is I was lying on this bed, trying not to look at my knee. I was told not to look, but you know, children, they're going to do what they're not supposed to do. I caught a little glimpse, didn't look all that great. And I also thought, you know what, if my older brother is here, things must probably also not really be that great. They would have left him there with me for a reason. So, my older brother, he was left with me by my father. Why? He was comforting me. He was taking my mind off it. He was doing everything he could to make me feel better. He even performed some operations on Easter eggs. They were very good, in a German accent. It was fantastic. He was reassuring me. It was bad. There was no way around that. We were far away from home. We were in unfamiliar territory. It was the Easter weekend. Need I say anymore? It was bad. He was helping me. He was making sure that I had snacks, because snacks is crucial to a child's survival. He was with me in the thick of it. He wasn't scared when he looked at the state of my leg. Yes, there was probably some concern, but you know what? He knew it was going to be okay, because he knew that our dad was on the case. Pretty sure I don't quite need to point out at the moment the relation here between my brother and Jesus, like a brother, comforting, reassuring, helping, with me in the thick of it. And he also knows that our dad is on the case. Right. So I've already said my dad was out looking for some medical help. What exactly was he doing? Well, first of all, he was in overall charge of the situation. He knew where I was. He knew what was wrong. And he knew how he was going to fix it. Not only that, he left me with someone. He left me with a comforter and someone to look after me. I couldn't see him, but I knew one thing. He didn't abandon me. He went out to do good for me. He wasn't concerned about the cost. He was going to pay the price in full. He was fighting my battle for me. He had strength. He lifted me up in his arms and carried me into the surgery. Yet he was gentle enough not to cause me any more harm. And you know what probably the best part about it was? He never scolded me for ruining the family holiday and unnecessarily spending his money. I was never even aware of how much it cost him. He showed me grace. And at the end of all of that, he won the battle for me. Now I know my earthly dad because of what he has done for me. And exactly the same way I know my heavenly dad, by what he has done for me. My heavenly dad every day is in control and in charge of my situation. My heavenly dad knows where I am. He knows what is wrong before I can even open my mouth to call out on his name. And my heavenly dad will always know how to fix it. My heavenly dad hasn't left me alone. He's left me with a comforter. He hasn't abandoned me. He's out to do good for me. My heavenly dad has paid the cost for me in full. And he doesn't rub that in my face. Instead, he still says, come, every time I mess up. My heavenly dad fights the battle for me. He's strong enough to carry me, yet he's gentle enough not to cause me any more harm. And my heavenly dad wins the battle for me. Andy and the band, can you come back up, please? That is who he is. When I call on the name of the Father, when I call out Lord, when I call out Almighty God, when I call out my heavenly dad, I am not calling out any form of empty name or any empty words. I'm calling out on his character that saves. I am calling what he is and who he is. Now, my earliest memory of my dad, I can't really remember how old I was, probably around 3 or so. And this was quite a defining moment for me. This is where I realized that actually there's someone there who is more than just the person who pays the bills. There's someone more than just who disciplines us when he gets home from work or anything like that. Now, you see, it was a Saturday morning and my dad was playing cricket. He wasn't playing cricket. He was watching cricket on the TV. It was his favorite thing to do. It is his favorite thing to do. And there's absolutely no disturbing him when he's playing cricket. And I'd got this really cool little toy kind of service station thing with the little petrol pumps and little plastic hoses, and I could drive my little cars into it, fill them up. Unfortunately, not real petrol, or fortunately, you can't have a 3-year-old playing with real petrol. There we are. But I was really lonely. I'd had no one to play with. And I went into the lounge where my dad was sitting watching his cricket, not to be disturbed. And I was like, Dad, I've got no one to play with. Do you know what? He looked at me and he said, that's okay, I'm going to come play with you. And he came and he sat, and he just sat with me on my bedroom floor. And you know, it hit me, and I've taken it ever since. All he wanted to do was spend time with me. That's all he wanted to do. That's all that made him happy, was spending time with me. And likewise, our Heavenly Father wants to do exactly the same thing. 2 Corinthians 6 tells us, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Maybe you don't know this father that I've been talking about. I appreciate that I'm fortunate enough to see some of these characters in my characteristics in my earthly dad. But our Heavenly Father is just like that. He wants to just spend time with you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to call you my child. He wants to call you my son, my daughter. That is all he wants. He is our almighty fortress. Battle belongs to him, and he wins every battle. And I'd like us to end with that song, if that's all right. But before we close the service and before we do announcements, we're going to sing one more song. If that is you this morning, if you need anyone to pray with you, if anything I have said this morning has resonated with you, if you just need a touch of the Father this morning, just to know that he is there, then come forward. If it's too much to come forward, then after the announcements, once we've closed the service, just come down to the front in this corner over here on my left. And one of the team will absolutely love to pray with you. But please, do not leave this morning if the Father God who I'm talking about this morning is not the Father that you know. He's waiting for you. And all he wants to do is wrap his arms around you.